If everybody will make sure your cell phones are off or on silent, make sure that you're settled. I really don't want people moving in and out the rest of the service. I won't be long this morning, but I want to help you. To our visitors, thank you for being with us today. This might be a little different to you. Some of you might not go to a church quite like ours. Matter of fact, I'm not sure there's another church quite like ours. You don't have to be crazy to come here, but it does help. But please take your medicine. I've been in the ministry full time for 30 years. As of about 10 days or so, I will have been preaching for 39 full years, starting my 40th year of preaching. May I say something? I am more adamant about preaching today as a 52-year-old man as I was a 13-year-old boy. I believe in it more. I see the need for it more. I understand it more. And our country is in such a position where we need it more than ever. If you'll listen to me, this isn't the theater, this isn't the movie house. It isn't come in and go as you please. This is kind of like the military. You sit there and let me flop it on the plate a while and you choke it down. But I want to help you today. To me, a sermon is not for me to impress you. It's a greasy wrench so we can adjust something. If you can't take it home and use it and live it, what good was it for me to give it to you? So I need your help today to listen. Let me bring you up to speed where we are in the scriptures, and you'll understand where we're headed in just a moment. Jesus has been crucified. He's resurrected and has been on the earth for about 40 days. In Acts chapter 1, he's getting ready to leave and go back to heaven. And he speaks those famous words in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Don't worry, that's just Fred's breathing machine. He's not dying. It's just tooting over there. It's not. Yeah, it's his machine. Don't worry, all right? I knew what it was when I heard it. It's okay. And Jesus spoke those words, and the Bible says he immediately was caught up and went to heaven. And the disciples were standing there watching him go. Two angels came and said, "What stand you here gazing? This same Jesus who is also here, he'll come back in like manner. Go out and do what he told you to do." Well, 7 days later, there was an event that took place called Pentecost. Now, don't let that scare you. Pentecost was not the beginning of the church. Pentecost was the catapult, the catalyst to get the church moving and growing. See, Jesus started the church in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And by Matthew chapter 18, it says that if somebody has a matter, let's take it to the church. Well, you can't take it to the church if the church wasn't there. It had to be there. So Jesus started the church. Now let me say this, and this is where I'll need your attention. The church was not the temple. The temple was the Old Testament. The temple was pointing to what Jesus would do. He was the fulfillment of the temple. I'm going to have you, Brother Baxter, be the only time in your life you're going to represent Jesus. Amen. All right, just stand right there. Matter of fact, let me get somebody. No. Here's what it is. In the Old Testament, the temple and the tabernacle, they pointed and everything was pointing to what Jesus would be as the Lamb of God. That's what the sacrifices were for. That's what the tabernacle was for. That's what the priestly garments and the things, because Jesus not only was going to be the Lamb of God as our sacrifice, but when he resurrected as our high priest. And he put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven for our eternal salvation. He had to fulfill all of those things. So in the Old Testament, you had the temple, and all of those things pointed to Jesus. Notice, that's why the Jews celebrated on the Sabbath. That was Saturday. It was the last day of the week. Jesus started the church, and the Lord's Day is the first day of the week. Sunday is not the weekend, it's the week beginning. Sunday is the first day of the week, not the last day of the week. And we in America have kind of corrupted it and call it the weekend, but it's the week beginning. And he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. It's very important. When Jesus was crucified, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Say, why is that? Because between the holy place and the holy of holies, where only the high priest could go once a year, that veil was rent from top to bottom, which means man had direct access to God, no longer needed the priesthood. He had fulfilled it all. He died, he shed his blood as the Lamb of God. That's why John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But when he resurrected, he saw Mary on the road and he said, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Right. Say, why is that? Because he had to go to the true tabernacle in heaven, according to the book of Hebrews, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven for our eternal salvation. He couldn't be touched by human hands, or God would say it doesn't work because he's been touched by sinful hands. So the temple has been done away with, and Jesus started the church 50 days after Calvary. Now Jesus leaves and goes back to heaven. He leaves. Gonna have to talk to Brother Fugit a little more. Now watch this. Then the disciples were left and the church was left. And it is our job to take the message of Jesus Christ, him crucified, buried, and resurrected to each and every person to build the church and to see people get saved and miss hell and go to heaven. That is our job. Pentecost was not some, it was an annual feast. It meant 50 days. Penta meaning 50. It was 50 days past Passover. Now watch this. It was a time when everybody would come back, but it was also, there's so many things that go into this. It was also a year of Jubilee where everybody came back and all the property returned to original owners. And it was a ginormous reorganizing of all the land and government and business and everything else. It was the biggest day every 50 years. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that every tongue and every nation was represented there that day. And Peter got up in the back of an F-150 pickup truck and preached the gospel, and over 3,000 people got saved. Now, you say, well, that was the day they all spoke in tongues. No, it's not. The Bible says, if you read in Acts chapter 2, every man heard in his own tongue. They preached and everybody heard the gospel in their own language. By the way, it was not a heavenly language that somebody didn't understand. It wasn't some guy flopping on the floor saying all the motorcycle names backwards. Sorry. It was God using the man of God to preach and people hearing the gospel in their language. Now, isn't it amazing that God left the growth of the church until after Jesus left? Say why? Because had it grown the way you think it would be, they would have set him up as some great leader and nobody else could do it. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, greater works than these shall you also do. Jesus wanted to be a part of the church. Matter of fact, according to Ephesians chapter 5, he paid for the church with his own blood. Now watch this. The word church is the word ekklesia. It's a Greek word that means a called out assembly. It's not just a general assembly. The term general assembly is the word temple. A called out assembly is much different. A church is an assembly that's called out of the world to meet together, to gather around the word of God and do things the way God said, and don't give a rip what the world says. Everybody doing okay? Amen. All right, hang on. I'm kind of playing meat and taters, but you'll understand the meat and the taters, let me tell you. The church is not to be like the world. It's to be like Jesus wanted it to be. Let me say that again. The church is not supposed to be like the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. We have churches today that are more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. We're not to bring the church, the world's music to the church. We're not to bring the world's styles to the church. We're to be a called out assembly and do it the way God said.
Amen.
If you go to work for McDonald's, I'm sorry. No, if you go to work for McDonald's, you're expected to wear their uniform. You're to sell their product. You're to do it their way. You go to McDonald's and start packaging things in Burger King wrappers and find out what happens. You're going to lose your job real fast, aren't you? Why in the world are churches trying to wrap the world in the church? We're supposed to use the Bible and what God said and our founder said and do it the way God said. God knew that the nasty, evil pull of the world would destroy mankind. Folks, we're all sinners. We live in a nasty world. We live in a negative world. We live in a violent world. We live in an unbelievable society. 30 years ago, when I started in the ministry, I never dreamed I would have to explain some of the things I do in the pulpit that I do today. The modern church is fleshly and emotional. It's not spiritual. They want you to feel good. Feelings are physical. Feelings are emotional. But there's no spirit involved with it. Can I tell you something? The church is to be spiritual, not fleshly.
Amen.
I'd rather have a small church where God is than a big church where God is not.
Amen.
And I don't care what name's on the sign.
That's right.
Here in Acts chapter 2, we have a great growth in churches. A bunch of people got saved, a bunch of people got baptized, and they were from all over the world, and they left that feast of Pentecost and went back into their nations with the gospel, with salvation, and virtually they became thousands of missionaries going all over the world to start churches all around the world. That was the purpose of Pentecost. That was the explosion, the growth that took place there. Now, there's more to church than just attending. Let me say that again. There's more to church than just being here. Yes, it's a place you're to come. But I also believe, according to the scriptures, it's a place you should join, become part of, and help in that growth. You see, we are to influence our community. We're to influence our state. We're to influence our country. And we're to influence the world. Notice in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, don't turn there, but ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. There's four parts of that. Jerusalem was their hometown. Grace Baptist Church is supposed to meet the needs of Kearneysville and Martinsburg and Ranson and Charlestown. But we're also supposed to hit this tri-state area. Then we're supposed to influence our country, and yay, we're supposed to influence the world.
Amen.
You do play that part well. Say, why do you bring somebody like Brother Baxter here? Because he's going around the world to go somewhere we will not be, but we can support him so that he can take the gospel there. And that is us influencing the world. I want to show you God's plan for our church, and honestly, every church that is a Bible-preaching church. Number one, church is a place where the gospel is supposed to be preached and spread.
Amen.
Folks, if you're born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian.
That's right.
Hate to disappoint you. The building you get born in doesn't make you a human being. Everybody doing okay?
Right.
Somebody smile. Okay, I know you're tired. No, it's hot. Slap somebody next to you or something, but it'll be okay. Can I tell you something? The church is a place where the gospel of Jesus Christ is supposed to be preached, not tickle-feely, let's feel good about each other and go walk away holding hands singing kumbaya.
Right.
I hate to disappoint you. Listen to this very carefully. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, we read it in verse number 41, then they that gladly received his word. Guess what? At church, we're supposed to preach his word.
Amen.
I just happen to believe the old black book is still what it always was.
Amen.
It is God's words. The King James Bible, inspired, infallible, preserved, perfect, as God gave it. You say, well, Paul wrote those words. No, God wrote those words. Those words were penned before the foundation of heaven. God spoke them, and Paul wrote them down as God gave them to him. But they're not Paul's words. You see, it's a place where people come and get saved. Did you know a church is a place where people are supposed to come, hear the gospel preached, and get saved? Man, thank God. I was telling Brother Baxter, in 6.5, almost 7 years, there's not been 1 week go by in all those years that we haven't seen somebody get saved at Grace Baptist Church. Isn't that what a church is supposed to be? It's a place where saved people come, get help, get encouraged, get strengthened, and learn how to go out and take the gospel to somebody else. So not only are we to preach the gospel here, it's a place we gather and learn how to take the gospel out there to reach more people, to bring them back here so that we can teach them to go out there and take the gospel to more people.
Amen.
That's the purpose of the church. Everybody doing all right? Now, don't crucify me. Hang on. The church is not a public worship center.
Right.
You know, there's no such thing as public worship in the Bible.
Right.
Worship is loving God, telling him how wonderful he is, and loving on God. I love my wife. We've been married for 30 years. But I don't love on her at church like I do at home. Now, I still love her, but we express our love differently at home than we do at church. Say, are you a hypocrite? No, just some things aren't meant for public. Amen. Guess what? Worship is loving on God. There's no such thing as publicly doing that. Now, I can tell you I love God. I can tell you God loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But that's not true worship. The church is not a community service place. The church is not an extension of welfare where people go to get whatever they need and a place where people call and get their bills paid. Are they doing okay? Church is a place where people come, hear the gospel and get saved, and where saved people come, get strengthened to go out and get the gospel to every creature. That's what church is for. A church where the gospel is not preached, nor is the gospel spread from, is not a church that Jesus Christ is a part of. I'm going to say that again. A church where the gospel is not preached, nor the gospel is spread from, is not a church where Jesus Christ is a part of.
Amen. That's right.
I don't care what name's on the sign. Doesn't matter what the name is. If the gospel's not being preached, and if it's not being spread from that church, God is not a part of that. Say, preacher, you speak pretty boldly. I didn't say it, God did. Don't get mad at the mailman because he brought the bill. You're the one that had the bill. Don't get mad at the preacher. I just preach it. I didn't write it. By the way, let me say this. I believe everybody needs a church. I do. You need the love of a church family. You need the support of a church family. You need the fellowship of a church family. Can I tell you something? You walk in these doors once as a visitor, you walk out part of the family.
Amen.
Say why? Because you need it. Say, well, I don't need it right now. There's coming today you're going to need a church.
Amen.
I promise you. You might as well get in and get in a good one and enjoy it for a while because you're going to need it. It's a place where we go closer to God. It's a place where we serve God together. Can I tell you something? When somebody in the family dies, you'll be glad you have a church.
Amen.
When somebody's bad sick, you're going to be glad that you have a church family. When it's your family facing the valley of the shadow of death. When it's your family, when it's cancer. You'll be thankful. So church is a place where the gospel is preached, and where the gospel is spread from. Number two, I've got to hurry. The Bible says we should join the church, not just attend. Take your Bible, look at Acts chapter 2 again. Look at verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, watch this, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Did you know that you can't add to something that's not already there? In other words, these people who got saved and baptized that day, they added themselves to the church. I can prove that. Look down in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Can I tell you something? I'm happy for every person that attends this church, and you never have to join. I understand that, and I'll take you every time, and I'll love on you as long as you're here. But may I say something? Just jump on in. The water's fine.
Right.
Just join. Can I tell you why? It'll help you be right with the Lord. It'll help you make you feel more right with the Lord. Everybody doing okay? Just because you attend doesn't mean, you say, well, I come every week, preacher. That's good. How about you just make it official and join up? Just because you go out to the where the drill instructor is every day and watch them do drills doesn't mean you're part of the military.
Right.
Not till you join up and go to boot camp that you're there. Well, this isn't boot camp, but may I say something? Why don't you just decide I'm going to join? I'll be a part of the church. It doesn't mean that you're going to give us your... And I found out recently there's a couple churches in our area. If you join their church, you got to give them your bank information and your routing number so they can take money out of your account every week. That's not church. And I'm glad I didn't let anybody tell me what the name of those churches were. So you can't say, well, you're criticizing my... This. I don't even know who they are. Just so you know. But that's not what church is all about. Joining up means I'm identifying with this group of people saying, I want to be a part of that.
Yes,
say, well, preacher, how do we join? Well, if you've been saved and you've never been baptized, we can take care of that. That's what that's for right there. The water's warm. I've got baptistry clothes for you. You won't even get your own clothes wet. And we can baptize you. After you're saved, you should get baptized. Baptism doesn't get anybody to heaven. It gets you wet. It doesn't get you to heaven. I've been married for 30 years. If I take my wedding ring off, am I still married?
Yes, sir.
People know I'm married because I wear it. That's exactly what baptism is. It doesn't get you saved. It lets everybody else know you've been saved. It is just a symbol. You say, well, can you go to heaven without being baptized? Sure can. Matter of fact, one of the thieves on the cross with Jesus looked at him and said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't get down and get baptized. The word baptize is a Greek word which means to immerse. It means to be put under the water and brought back up. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what it took for you to get saved. You're saying that's what I trusted to get me to heaven, and I'll identify with it. By the way, it's the one thing you can do that Jesus did. He did it when he started the church as a way of joining the church. And he was the original founder of the church. So you can be baptized after you've been saved. By the way, you say, well, I got baptized. That's enough to take me to heaven. No, it's enough to get you wet. That's something you do. So, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. God bless you. Did you know the Ten Commandments have nothing to do with heaven? Ten Commandments is civil law. Ten Commandments is government. It has nothing, never did have anything to do with going to heaven. It was a civil law for how the Jews were organized in the wilderness and how they were taken into Canaan land and the promised land and set up the government of the land. That's why it used to be, as a Christian nation, posted at the courthouse.
Right.
Say why? Because it was civil law. It's not spiritual law. Everybody doing okay? You can join if you've been saved and baptized by immersion. You can join by what we would call transfer of membership. Maybe you're a member of a church. Maybe you haven't been to church in 20 years or whatever. We can still transfer it, or what we would call Christian experience. You've been saved and baptized by immersion. You can come down and say, I'd like to join the church. And we would bring you in to the church. Now, let me say something right here. What you see is what you got. I'm going to preach the truth whether you like it or not.
That's good.
I'm commanded by God to please him, not you.
Yes,
I'm not mean. I'm not nasty. I'm not arrogant. I promise you, I know how to love people. I love people. I love them enough to tell them the truth and warn them about how bad sin really is. But when they do mess up, I'll be there and help them. I promise you. Promise you. I believe in helping people. I believe in helping people till they suck the last breath of air on this earth. I believe they have a chance to clear up until that last moment to do whatever they need to do and get right with the Lord. So, in a little while, we'll have an invitation. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come forward. We'll get your name on a piece of paper. We'll get you back there, and we'll get you baptized. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join the church, you come forward. We'll get your name on a decision slip, and we'll have you join our church. It's that simple. But I think you ought to join up. No, by the way, we're not asking for your bank information. Number three, and I'm done with this. The work of the church is to reach our state, our country, and the rest of the world.
Yes,
sir. Amen. You see, the early church, if you read Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, you'll find out the church in Jerusalem stayed and it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And bigger, but they were only building the church in Jerusalem and they were not obeying the rest of Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. So, in Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, the Bible says this, and I love it. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. God said, okay, you're not obeying me. You've been at this a while. You're staying there. You're not getting things out of Jerusalem. So I'm going to bring persecution. I'm going to bring a guy in named Saul, and he's going to start killing Christians and scattering you people all over the place. Mm-hmm. There was a man named Saul who came in and started persecuting the church, and the Christians started scattering. Notice it said to Judea and Samaria. Go back to Acts 1:8, but ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria, same cities and places, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Wow. God says you're not doing it. I'll make you do it. If you've ever had children, you know what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, you got to push them out and make it uncomfortable. Did you ever teach one to ride a bike? Man, is it fun. If you have boys, it's really fun. You know, they're ready to drive, Dad. Okay. So you put the training wheels on. They get a little good at that, and they think they're hot snot on a silver platter. And when you take them off, they find out they're a cold booger on a paper plate. All of a sudden, you take those wheels off, and it's like, I can't do this, Dad. And you run behind them till you're out of breath. And you got to do it again. Or you do like I did, get them on a hill and say, watch this, y'all. And they get their feet a-going, and then they can't figure out how to turn. And they don't realize that if you take that front thing and turn it 90 degrees like that, the front wheel will turn, but the back wheel's still going that way. And something unique happens with momentum. And they get road rash, and they scream and cry a little bit, and you get them up and say, put dirt on it, let's try it again. And finally, they get it down pat. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you have to let them fall before they figure it out. Sometimes when it comes to church, you got to get people pushed around a little bit. Well, I'm just not as comfortable. Nobody said church was supposed to be comfortable. I don't like it when I preach on my sin. I know you're not comfortable when I'm preaching on yours. I can read it on your face. By the way, folks, no nail prints. I'm not perfect. I'm just as much a sinner as you are. Now listen to this very carefully. Sometimes God wants us to get the gospel all around the world. I surrendered to preach in a place called Guatemoc, Chihuahua, Mexico. I was 13 years old on a mission trip. Man got up and preached in Spanish. I understood a couple words. Comida. Food. I understood Baño, that's bathroom. Important words when you're going to a foreign language, let me tell you. About that, I didn't know a whole lot more than that. But I was sitting in a Spanish church, and I watched the building that was packed about this size, jam full of people. I watched a man get up and preach and watched people walk an aisle, and dozens got saved that night. God broke my heart. God had been working on me for a while. My youth director pulled me aside and said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I don't know." I was crying. He was praying. He said, "Son, God's called you to preach, hadn't he?" I said, "I don't know, but if I don't figure it out, I'm going to die." He said, "I'm telling you, God called you to preach." That was July 31st, 1980. I said, "Okay, if that's what he wants, I'll do it." I surrendered to preach. I got up. They told everybody that I'd surrendered to preach. Everybody's cheering. And the youth director gets up and says, "Good, you're preaching on the bus tomorrow to everybody." You know how long I was awake trying to find something in that big book? Lord have mercy. Brother Baxter, that was over 20,000 sermons ago. I've seen hundreds of thousands of people get saved all around this world. I've preached in Mexico, preached all over this country, been in 32 different states preaching. I've seen a lot of things happen. Sometimes it's winning people to Christ here and they go around the world. Dr. and Mrs. Chaco are here. They just got back from India. Talk about sweet Christian people. But as they were out there, I know them well enough to know they were doing what witnessing they could for the Lord. Sweet story, just a few weeks ago. Well, I'm guessing about 6-8 weeks ago. We had a young man from Romania come to our church one Sunday morning. I was like, wow, he got the prize for coming the farthest. Literally on business here from Romania. Came, sat right over here. I preached that morning. He got under conviction. One of our men walked down and tapped him on the shoulder. He walked down here and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Amen. Came back to church Sunday night. Came back to the Wednesday night Bible study. Stood right back there and he said, "Preacher, what should I do next?" I said, "Well, you should get baptized and join Baptist Church." I said, "You need to get involved." He said, "Well, I'm going back to Romania Friday." We gave him a Bible. I put him in touch with some people that I knew in Romania and said, "You look them up, they'll help you find the right kind of church." He said, "Can I take some of your tracts and when I go back to my country, I can translate it. Maybe I can teach somebody else how to get saved." I said, "How many you want, Doc?" God used a church preaching the gospel to get the gospel back to Romania through somebody that got saved at church.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Sometimes there's folks like Brother Baxter. God's called them to a certain place. He and his precious wife and 4-month-old baby are working to get support to be able to go over to South Sudan and preach the gospel and start churches all over that area, just like we're doing right here. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to take part in that. See, missionaries in most countries can't work jobs and take money from the local economy. So they need our support. By the way, we're supporting him. He's got my seal of approval and our seal of approval. And we'll help pay their way so that they can do what we do here in another country. That's what a missionary is for. But may I say this? There's lots of missionaries out there that are fixing up boo-boos and doing surgery and giving shots to people. And they're feeling better. But they never give the gospel out and people are going to die and go to hell even though they're feeling better. People over there feeding people and I'm for feeding someone. But may I say this, you can die and go to hell with a full belly. If the gospel's not preached, what good is it? Let me say this. Jesus not only started the church, but according to Ephesians chapter 5, let me read you his words. You need not turn there. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Say, how do we do that? He paid for it. How about we do it his way and not our way? Folks, this is not my church. It's his church. But Baxter, I was an assistant pastor for 23 plus years. When God had me start Grace Baptist Church not quite 7 years ago, I told God, how about you pastor it and I'll just be your assistant for a while. I like that setup. God pastors this church, not me. I'm just his assistant. Can I tell you something? The whole purpose of the church, though, is for people to know for sure they're going to go to heaven someday.
Right.
Darlene, sitting back here watching her the whole time. About 6 weeks before Trent went to heaven, Loretta called me. It's all Loretta's fault. Right, Jimbo? Okay. It is, yep. She said, preacher, Trent's dying. I'm afraid he's not saved. Could you go talk to him? I said, I'd be glad to. She said, now, preacher, he's not quite as rough as Buck, but he might cuss you. I said, it's okay. I've been cussed before. I showed up on Saturday morning, Brother Barnes and I. I met Mingo first, his dog. Mingo and I got along. He ate Evan's leg while I talked. No. I walked through the door, and I don't mean this to be cruel, but I've been around a lot of sick people, and I could tell just that quick, Trent didn't have many days left. I could hear the cancer in his throat. We talked a while, and for some reason, God knit the heart of Trent to me. Everybody's scared to death. I watched Darlene. She was walking on pins and needles. She knew what was coming, but she was waiting for the explosion. I looked at him and I said, Trent, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, no. He said, I'd probably go to hell. I opened up that book right there. I showed him how that we're all sinners. That because we're all sinners, there's a price to pay. That price to pay is death and hell. So how could a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. That was before there ever was a man. When we chose to sin, we committed the same sin that Satan committed. And the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself. Hell was never created for man.
Right.
We choose hell because we sin. But I want you to notice something. Jesus came and paid our sin debt for us. I said, Trent, you don't have to die and go to hell. He said, really? I said, really? He said, what do I got to do? I said, you told me that you're a sinner. He said, well, yeah. I said, you believe that Jesus paid the sin debt for you? He said, I do. I said, if you would trust what he did and that alone to take you to heaven, he'll take you. Would you be willing to do it? He said, I sure will.
Amen.
Sitting there with half a cup of coffee. At that table just inside the door. Watch that man bow his head and trust Jesus Christ with the tears dripping onto the table. Can I tell you something? He said, I'm going to come to your church. Darlene said, you're going to do what? I said, knock it off. He went in the hospice just a couple days after that. And honestly, for about a week or so, we weren't sure he was going to make it out. May 5th come rolling around. He got out of hospice to come to church and sat right back there. Man, he told everybody he got saved. His life changed. Came to church twice. Not well enough, but he came. For some reason, he loved this old preacher. He was dying. He was hours from heaven. I was over here at the hospice. I won't tell you who, but a family member wasn't sure they were going to heaven. Brother Dorsey and I talked to him for a while, and oh, by the way, they got saved. Trent was so happy when he died with a smile on his face. Not the goofy grin, but the smile. Can I tell you why? He knew he was going to heaven. He knew that. He and I one night, it was actually early one morning, about 5:30 one morning, we talked about his going home service. I'll say this out at the memorial service today. He said, "Preacher, are you going to tell him how to go to heaven and get saved like I did?" I said, "Trent, I promise you I will." He said, "Good, because I want to see them all in heaven someday." Say, what was that? It wasn't the preacher, that was God. Preacher can't do that, God can. He loved this church. Honestly, he wanted to join the church. He was so sick, he just couldn't get baptized. He told me, he said, "I want to, preacher, but I don't think I can make it." I said, I understand. Can I tell you something? Jesus gave his life for the church. How about we give part of our life for it? How about we get involved? How about we just join up? How about we decide we're not playing church, we're going to get involved? It's about getting the gospel out. It's about getting people saved. It's about getting lives changed. About cleaning ourselves up so that we can get through life a little bit. Amen. Isn't that what it's all for? It's not about feeling good. Not about fancy music and fancy this and fancy that. Good night, you can go to the Ritz-Carlton and find fancy things, but God's not there. It's about doing what he said. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Please give everybody the respect they deserve and close our eyes and be still and quiet for a moment. We've got a large crowd, and it's a bit of a diverse crowd. I would not embarrass anybody. But who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. I'll not come to you. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. But you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know that for sure." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sure. Plenty of hands. You may put them down. Maybe others. To those of you that just raised your hand, in a moment, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you're a man, step out in the aisle, or a lady or a teenager. I'll have somebody that's, if you're a lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible, or a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. It'll only take a couple minutes. You've heard the gospel. You just got to act on it. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come forward at that time. Say, "I need to get baptized." We'll baptize you. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, how about you come and we'll take your name down and we'll enroll you in the role of the church so that you can officially be part of the church here at Grace Baptist Church. Whatever the need, how about you move as the Spirit has worked on your heart today?